Galatians 2:21, the reminder. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate what? The grace of God. I do not frustrate it. And 2017, millions of Christians do not regard the grace of God as anything. Actually, they regard it as evil. There are many churches, if the grace of God, they run you out. But this is what Jesus brought us. The Bible says Jesus brought us grace. How can you in his church throw away what he brought to the church? Don't you understand? That's the devil doing all of this. Confusing people. If there's anything the devil is interested in, it's to confuse the Christian about the truth. And to keep him in ignorance. Because he knows as long as you don't have that truth, you can't walk in freedom. It doesn't matter how you pretend in the public. You can't walk in freedom. He knows that. So he tries to hinder the believer from knowing what the truth is. And the scripture tells us about these high things that they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. You see, those are the strongholds of the devil. The things that exalt themselves above the truth, that dethrones the truth of the knowledge of God and plant themselves. He said, those are the strongholds that the devil uses in the lives of people. And you doubt me, you watch the body of Christ. So Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. My prayer is that you too, you do not frustrate what? The grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain. If we could be righteous and live a righteous life, then all that death on the cross is worth nothing. He didn't achieve anything because we could do that. But in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Do you understand what that statement means? By you and I trying to obey the laws of God, there is no single flesh that can be justified before God, which means we all end up in hell. That's what he's saying. There is no single flesh. There is no single human being that can be justified before God if God would judge us on keeping his laws. There is no single human being. Let it sink into your ears. This is the Spirit of God writing this thing. And you know, he says, is it not even evident by your life? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the laws of God shows us sin, what sin is. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So Paul talks about the misery it causes the well-meaning Christian when he's not able to live the life he knows that he should live. Because we keep failing and keep rising. So in that chapter 7, verse 25, it says, thank God. The answer, verse 24. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? You find the Christian life is a lot of, today you get it right, one day you get it wrong, you're so sad, you're so angry, and then you think that's the end of getting it wrong. It's not the end of getting it wrong. You say, okay, let me repent, and you repent, and you do okay, but within 25 hours, you've gotten wrong again. Why is it that we don't acknowledge these things? Why do we want to live in pretense? You tell Christians, it's the grace of God. Though. They think, why must it be the grace of God? It's because we don't get it right. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I was talking with somebody, and they said to me, he said, you know, said, what I need to be healed is, if I repent of my sin, then God will heal me. I said, why you are repenting? Another 1 hour, 2 hours, you committed more. If that is the basis of healing, you won't get it. There's no doubt that there are some things you do you need to change from, because if you don't, it will help the devil finish your life off. But the basis of your healing is divine mercy. It's divine mercy. Okay? If you repent and you get healed, so you get another 1 week, you sin again, so you get back to your, come on, church. Didn't the Bible say it is of the Lord's mercy we are not? Isn't that scripture? Isn't that Bible? So it causes us, because we are sincere, because we really want to please the Lord, but we find that we have, you know, sometimes you get angry and say things you shouldn't say, only for you to say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Sometimes you tell lies. Even though we deny that we tell lies, sometimes even that denying is sin itself, exaggerations. Sometimes we tell people about us, we exaggerate it, so we look more important than we really are. A lot of stuff we do. So Paul said this thing frustrates the Christian. He feels so bad about it. And the reason he feels bad is because he's a Christian. His heart loves God. And he doesn't want to do what he's doing. And so the Bible says, the things which you don't want to do, you find yourself doing them. Do you know the beginning of healing is to tell yourself the truth about your life? Then God will help you. So Paul said the answer to this kind of life, the answer to this kind of life of sinning and coming out of sin and all this, say Jesus Christ is the answer. In verse 25, I'm talking of Romans chapter 7, verse 25. It says, thank God. Everybody say thank God. Can we say it louder? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I hear amen? That's the answer to all these things. That's the answer to all these things. Because only Jesus can save us from sin. Only Him. Only Him. And remember we read Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We are not able to plan our own course. We are not able to plan our own course. We are not able. We are not able at all. And so it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. He is our hope of glory. Only Him. If you remove Jesus from your life, there's no glory at all. The Bible says, well, Gentiles, say you Gentiles, when you didn't have Jesus, you were hopeless in this world, without hope at all. No hope. So in Romans chapter 8, Paul began to write. So we're moved from chapter 7 now to chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, Paul began to write about how Jesus becomes the answer to this sinful nature of ours. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Why? Because sin brings condemnation. But when you come to Christ, you have the gift of righteousness. Your sins are washed away. So now, there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit. The power of the life-giving what? Spirit. And like we said, who is that life-giving Spirit? Who is the life-giving Spirit? Christian, don't you read your Bibles? Who is the life-giving Spirit? Who is the life-giving Spirit? It's Jesus. We said it here. I took you to Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul said that the first Adam is a living soul, but the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. Is it the Holy Spirit that came that you have life? Come on, church. Who came that you have life? It's Jesus. He is the life-giving spirit. He is the life-giving spirit. Can we say it together? Jesus is? Let's say it louder. Jesus is? Let's say it again. Jesus is the life-giving spirit. He's the life-giving spirit. You see, when people don't get this, they get confused about salvation. It's because they don't know this. That's why they think salvation is works. They don't know that if you don't have the life-giving spirit, you don't have life in you. It's not by works. Jesus is the life-giving spirit. He who has the Son has life. So because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you. The power that freed us is the power of the life-giving spirit, the power of Christ. The Bible tells us Jesus is the power of God. The Bible says to us that Jesus Christ is what? The wisdom of God and the power of God. Can we say that with me? Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Let's say it again. Jesus Christ is wisdom of God and what? Power. Let's say it again. Jesus Christ is what? The wisdom of God and what? Now, if you remove Jesus and put yourself, you are neither the wisdom of God nor the power of God. Again, this is why many do not understand salvation. They're confused about salvation. It's so sad. Because they think man is the power of God that behaves well, lives holy. He's the power of God. Man is not the power of God. Man is just a vessel. The power of God is Christ himself. Jesus is the wisdom of God. And Jesus is what? That's why he said, without me, you have no power. You can do nothing. Without me, you have no power. You can do nothing. I'm the power. If you know this, you can't be confused about how you were saved and what salvation is and what you tell people. You tell people, hey, Jesus is that life-giving spirit. He's the one. There's the power of God that saves from sin, delivers from sin, delivers from sin, delivers from the power of God, delivers. So if I'm the one that delivers, come, come, come. We have to go through these basics over and 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 over. If I'm the one that delivers sin, come this side so these people will see you too. They see you a sinner. They will tell your wife. So if I'm the one that delivers him, is it not because he needs deliverance? Right? I'm the one that delivers him. Jesus, the deliverer. Jesus, the savior. From the power of sin. And the power of Satan. From the judgment to come. I'm the one that delivers him. So I become his only hope. If you remove me, he's hopeless. There is nothing under earth given to man that will save this man. Except Jesus. If you remove me, this man is in a very precarious situation. There is no hope for him here on earth. Number two, he cannot connect with God because I'm the daughter of God. I'm his connection to God. If you remove me, no matter how he thinks he's good and holy, all this is not the power of God. I am the one. If you remove me from his life, you remove the only connection he has with God. And because he doesn't know that I'm his hope, he doesn't put his faith in He puts his faith in himself. And when he's doing that, God says, all these things you are doing is filthy rag. The only person who can give you rope is my son. When he comes, he gives you the real rope. All these things you are doing, the real rope, what it does is what I accept. This one you are doing on your own here is totally filthy. If you bring it to me, I throw it away. Because you are telling me, God, that my son I sent to you is a wasted thing. I don't have to. You are good to go. Tell God that and say, how far you go. Listen to me, church. This is where thousands of Christians are today. This thing I'm telling you. They don't recognize yet that salvation is by faith in him only. When you talk of salvation, they're thinking of themselves and what they are doing. You tell them, listen, if he doesn't save you, you are finished. He's the only hope of mankind to be free. He's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe in him. He's the wisdom, the plan that God has to set you and I free, and not only to set us free, to keep us free. Therefore, those of them that trust in him will not be put to what? But those of them that trust in themselves are under the curse. Cursed is the man that trusted in the arm of the flesh. Why? Because he rejects the Lord. This is why many people are frustrated. I'm telling people the truth. Things that are simple and becomes too complicated. So they're looking for rituals to do. You don't need all that junk. You don't need all that junk. Believe you don't need all that junk. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And the scripture tells us, he said, come and enter my rest. Come, O you that labor, carrying load, come and give it to me. And enter my what? I'm the one that has the power. You are not. Anybody teaching you anything else is of Satan. He's not glorifying the Son of God. Those that are the confusing demonic spirits that is all over the place, bringing the doctrine that the Holy Spirit warned the church in the latter days, the doctrine of Satan will be propounded, will be allowed. It's allowed. You see people sit up and arguing whether they are saved by works or by Christ. Don't you understand it's satanic? It's called deceiving spirit. If you toy, listen to me. If you toy with Christ, if you toy with your faith in Christ, you toy with your destiny. I'm telling you. So he says, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you and me from the power of sin that leads to death. The power that freed us is Christ crucified. Verse 3, Romans 8, 3. The law of Moses was unable to save us. The law of Moses was what? Why? The law of Moses is not the power of God. The law of Moses is not the power of God. Let me repeat it. The law of Moses is what? Not the power of God that brings salvation. It's the grace of God that brought salvation to all mankind. And Christ is the grace of God, the love of God in manifestation. It's not the law of Moses. It didn't bring salvation, nothing. And really, if you want to know, the law of Moses brought death. But why do you find many Christians today? Many places, all they teach is the law. Judaism, it's not Christianity. I finally told myself, I said, now I understand that many are called, but few are what? Now that scripture is clearer to me. I said to myself, that is true. So I stopped bothering myself. Say, oh yeah, absolutely true. Many will be called to the body of Christ, but very few. Because many will follow the broad way, which is man-made way, but the narrow way, which is Christ himself. Only few will find it. Broad way is what men want to do. Their ideas, the narrow way, is Christ. He said, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the way. It's narrow because it doesn't accommodate him and any other thing. If you understand me up to this point, so the law of Moses was able to serve us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. So what did God do? He sent his son. That's the power of God. He sent his son in the body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a what? Sacrifice for our sins. He did this. He did this so that the just requirement of the law will fully now be satisfied for us. Satisfied for. For. Satisfied what? F-U-F-O. If I'm doing something for you, is it not I'm doing it on your behalf? That's why Christ is our righteousness. Satisfied for us. Satisfied for us. Satisfied what? For us. Can we say amen? Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. You know, if you want to follow the Spirit, look up here, please. Every single time we talk of following the Spirit, our mind goes back to the laws of Moses. Jesus told us that how to follow the Holy Spirit. He said he will lead you into all truth. And who is the truth? Christ. He will lead you into the knowledge of Jesus. Because it is that truth that if you know it, you walk free. He will lead you into that truth. He said he will lead you into the truth. He will take of mine and show it to you. He will talk about me. He will talk about me. Because when you know me, your faith in me will be strong. And when you trust me, you cannot be put to shame anymore. All those things that you to put shame on you, bring you to shame, will be knocked out. Because you activate his power. And they'll be dead. They'll be dead without effort. Praise the Lord. When people see you here and they see you in your house, they are the same person. There is no difference. Anywhere anybody sees you, you are the same person. They see you in the church and you are nice. In the house, your children are also saying the same thing. It's a nice person. Everywhere you are, your testimony will be consistent. Why? There's the Spirit that works in you consistently because your faith in him is consistent. Your confession of faith in him is consistent. Your trust in him is consistent. You've taken this your life and handed over what? He keeps it. The things that used to floor you easily, they won't even attract you anymore. Because there's a power. The life that ignites and brings up is the life that does not respond to sin. That's the new nature. It works it up. It doesn't respond. You'll be so surprised. The struggle stops. You'll be totally surprised. People do things, you look at them, you have compassion. Because you used to see how childish those things are. And you see the foolishness in people manipulating things. Because they think they are God. You see people trying to, you just have compassion. Before you be angry and challenge them, now you don't. Because they are full of compassion. You just look at them and say, but they think their ways of wisdom is what will work out. But that will spoil things. They have not learned the ways of Christ to trust the Father with everything. Can I hear amen? Are you following me? Huh? People struggle with a lot of character defects. A lot. Paul also writes to the Galatian church. I wish I have time. Okay, I can see it. Awesome. That's good. Don't look back so you don't know where the time is over. Are you following me, church? Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? You know, I'm high. I can see all of you very well. Those of you sleeping, I see you well now. Lord, I give you praise. Father, I worship you. Let's rise up. Father, I give you praise that you bring this to us. I worship you, Lord. This is the truth that you sent to the church. Jesus, the Son of God. The truth, the way, the life. There's no life outside of him. There's no truth without him. There's no way without him. Father, I worship you. I give you praise. It pleased you to show us distance. It pleased you to reveal these things to us. The treasure of heaven. The treasure of heaven. The indescribable gift from heaven. The hope of mankind. The glory of God. The glory of heaven. The Son of God. Our Lord. Our Savior. Our sanctification, our wisdom, our life, our completeness, our all in all. Give you praise, give you glory for the work of your Spirit among us. Your grace and your mercy brings our distance. We cannot boast in anything else. We have no boast in anything else. We boast in the Lord, our God. Our confidence is in Jesus, the power of God. Thank you, Father. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Thank you, Father. And no man can pluck us out of his hand. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's sit down. So Paul writes to the Galatian church the same truth. In Galatians chapter 4 from verse 4, but when the right time came, God sent his son. He says, he's repeating that same thing that he said in chapter 8. Chapter 8, when the right time came, God sent who? His son. Born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us. See? To deliver us. Because this is the power of God. To buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his own very children. And because we are his children now, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba Father. Now you are no longer a slave, either to sin or to Satan or to anything. You are no longer a what? A slave. Church, do we believe this? You know, somebody walks up to you and say you're a slave, you say, yeah, I am. But the Spirit of God says you are no longer a what? Slave. Because the power of God has set you. Now, whose report really you want? Is it the Satan's lies? God says you are no more a slave. And somebody shows up and says, no, you're a slave. The reason you say yes to them is because you don't know the scripture. If you know this truth, see now, See, now, if you know this truth, you walk in it. You say, no, I'm not a slave. And you have to believe first before you see the reality. No longer a slave. 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 The Son of God bought our freedom, paid for it with his life, set us free. The power of God, he set me free. I'm not a slave. I'm neither a slave to anything. See, it boils down to knowing the truth. If you know you are no longer a slave, your confession will change. Your attitude will change. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, he will end up being. End up being. He end up being. If you think you are a slave to anger, you'll be a slave to anger. The day you realize you are no more a slave to anger, freedom comes. No more a slave to sin. You are no more a slave to sin. Church, you are no more a slave to sin. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir, which means the blessings of God are all ours. Amen. And so Paul gave us a little bit detail about how this thing all happened. Galatians chapter 6, verse 13. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They don't. Those who advocate circumcision, those who preach the law, he said they don't keep the whole law what? Themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, praise the Lord, as for me, Paul said, I don't know what others are talking about, but let me tell you what I, Paul, talk about. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, may my confidence never be in anything else. In anything else. May my confidence, may my boast never be in anything else. He said, as for me, I don't have any reason of boasting in this world. My only confidence, my only boasting is in the cross of our Lord Jesus. And then he gave reason. Because of that cross, what happened? My interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me also died. You see what happened? See what the Holy Spirit is telling us? Because of that cross. So, if you disregard the cross and what happened there, you wouldn't even know that God did a terrific miracle in your life there, that your interest in this world has died and the world has lost interest what? In you. Thus you'll be separated from the world. Set apart. Created to be like Jesus. A new creation. The handwork of God. The old nature that craves the world has been crucified. The old nature that loves the world has been what? Crucified. The new nature that loves God is now in place. So God cut you off from the world. Paul said, that's where my confidence is. What God did on the cross and separated me. He said, I can't boast in any other thing except what God did, except the cross of Christ. It frightens the devil when a Christian begins to put his faith in the cross. Because he knows that he cannot handle that truth, because that's the truth. Praise the Lord. I remember one time, I think I told you this story, that I saw the devil come and take my boy, one of my children. I mean, I saw him, took this boy, and I ran after him. I ran after him, got him at the bathroom. He was going to escape through the window. He was carrying my boy. And I said, "You give my boy right now." He said, I said, "You have forgotten the cross." I said, "How can you forget the cross and what it did to you there?" He said, "Who?" I said, "The one that destroyed your power on the cross." He said, "Hey, you don't know what you did. Take your son. You don't know what you did now. You don't know what the proof of me went." Because that truth is solid truth for eternity. Can I hear amen? That's your sword you can pull out and say to the devil, on the cross of Calvary, this is what he did. That's what you can tell to the flesh and say, on the cross of Calvary, your power over me was destroyed. I'm no more your slave. Don't control me. I'm a freeborn. Praise the Lord. So because of that cross, my interest in the world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter. It doesn't what? Matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts now is whether we have been transformed into that new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. Those who live by this principle, they are the real new people of God. And so in Galatians 5:25, the message gives that translation this way. Since this is the kind of life, this is the message I'm reading, we have chosen to live the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts. It's not an idea. It's not a sentiment. It's not a goose pimple thing. It's not a feeling thing. It's not a feeling thing. Let me tell us something that will help you. You can't locate God with your feeling. Neither can you locate him with your emotions. But that's what we do. Feeling is not the voice of God. Neither your emotion or my emotion. The Holy Spirit doesn't use feeling, because feeling is flesh. Flesh will profit you what? It will use feeling. He uses your spirit, not your flesh. If you want to locate God, go and read what he said. He said, this word is God. So if God says, this is like this, that's where God stands. It doesn't matter what is happening around. It's what God does. You may not feel that God is there. It's irrelevant. And that's why when we pray, we don't believe God has answered, because we have not felt. They say, I want to feel the anointing. Stop that joke. Stop using that language. If you keep using that language, you will draw blank. You don't have to live by feeling. Feeling is this. Flesh. And the flesh will profit you what? I don't live by it. In fact, to be honest with you, most days I don't feel like that I'm a Christian. But I wake up blessing the Lord. And all of a sudden, my joy rises up. Because I'm still a Christian. If you go by feeling, the devil will help you out. He will pummel you the whole day. Follow you around until he plants guilt in you. Have you never? Sometimes you want to pray, you don't feel like God will answer. Has it happened to anybody? Am I the only one? Eh? But God will still answer you, because he says so. Call unto me, and I will what? He will answer you. So what tells me what God will do is not the way I feel. It's what God told me. Ask and I will give. But the devil will come and try to convince me that you are not, God will answer you. No, you will answer you. And you see, you don't feel like it. You know, one pastor told the story how a woman woke her up early in the morning. Maybe you read that story. Early in the morning. He said, Pastor, he said he just has slept only a few hours. And the woman came stumbling into his house. He said, Pastor, I need prayer. I need prayer. I really need prayer. And the pastor said, about what? He said, I don't sense the presence of God again. I don't feel him again. He said, is that why you woke me up? He said, me, I don't feel anything at all. I need help from you too. He said, so you feel that? He said, I'm a human being like you. Ah, he said, I want to feel this place. People think you float in one kind of cloud that doesn't exist. The Bible says Elijah is what? A man like all of you. See what he prayed and God did. He said Elijah is like you and me. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. He is a human being like what? You and me. But he said, look at what God did because he prayed. He just followed the word of God. Elijah said, God, I did this at your word. I followed your word. He didn't do that because it was Elijah. He said, it's at your word. He said, let the host people know that at your word, I did this thing. You are the one that commanded all this assembly. All he did was to bring he repaired the place of altar that Israel had broken down. He brought the stone and everything. He waited for when God prescribed that sacrifice. Read that, Bible. He waited at the time of oblation when God prescribed it for Israel. And he brought it according to divine prescription. And God answered it. Praise the Lord. Can you tell your neighbor what I said? Don't follow feelings. Tell your neighbor what I said. Just follow the word. The Bible says, thy word is lamp what? Unto my feet. And light unto my... It didn't say my feeling. Don't ever use this language. I felt the... Stop that. You keep... What you are trying to train yourself to be doing is instead of walking by the word, you are walking by your... So the day you feel good, you think God has... So the day you don't feel good, you say God has abandoned me. It's not true. To be honest with you, when you need God most, when you feel low most, that's when he comes closest. I'm not kidding you. When you feel God most, when you listen to me, church, understand how God behaves. He taught us his character, but we don't take it serious. He said, I will leave 99 sheep, I'll go for one. Go and read it. Did he say that? He said, that one's straight, but I will leave what? 99 and go after that. That's the love of God that passeth human. He will come after you, follow you to that place, and make sure that he will do everything possible to save his child from destruction. He is a father. Wouldn't you do the same for your children? He will send people to talk to you. He will follow you everywhere. His heart will be broken. Hey, he's grieved. He's following you. He said, I will leave 99 and go for one. When you think he won't answer you, believe you me, he wants to answer you to say, I'm here. Please come. No, come. I love you too much. Please come. Come out of that. I will help you. He's not a human being. He's not as wicked as we are. He doesn't say, yesterday you didn't give me something, so I won't give it to you. Because he gives free. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So let's not, he said, okay. So, let us make sure that we do not hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our heart, but work it out. Work its implication in every detail of our lives. Friends, let me tell you something. It's very easy to see miracles in your life. It's not difficult. You don't have to pray 20 days to see miracles. Your life is designed to produce the miracle of God. Because God wants the heathens to see his glory. So they come and ask you, how did this say you share? He says, I want to show forth my glory through you. That's what glory is. I want to show them who I am. He loves them. But they won't come to church. So he wants to show them through our lives. He said, I want to show these principalities and powers my many-sided wisdom. I want to show. All these principalities and powers controlling the world, deceiving people, I want them to see my many-sided wisdom through the church. Through the church. Through what? I didn't hear you. Through what? I didn't hear you. Through what? I didn't hear you. Through what? And God wants them to know that you are his child. You know, Lord, will I tell this one? Yeah. Okay. When I became a Christian, I had many people look down on me. I was a pariah. They felt that I missed it. You haven't had anybody talk about you like I was talked about. And again, I was walking in ignorance, so my life was not any testimony at all. There was nothing to show for it because I didn't know all this. But God did something. Can I hear amen? God did something. God began to bring me in contact with someone. And they would say, wow. 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 And then the last one was, I went to somewhere, and I don't know how God gathered those people. And I was teaching them. They were dumbfounded. And they had a need that has been there for a long time. And I said to them, let's pray simple prayer. I said, God answers prayer very easily. And we prayed. I forgot this thing. And I told my wife, I said, this thing was orchestrated by God. He wants to show them something. That this man, people think he missed the road, didn't miss the road. And a terrific miracle happened for them. If I tell you the miracle, all of you will jump up. Why was God doing that? The same thing he wants to do with you. To show the world that Jesus is what? His Lord. Through you. Is it through? Who else will he use? Is he not his student? So we're designed for miracles. That's why the Bible says we are for signs and wonders. So if you are for signs and wonders, you have to kill yourself to produce it. You've already been designed for it because the Spirit of God works in you. The power of God is at work in you. All he wants you to do is align yourself with me, for two cannot work together. So not when I say you are no more a slave, agree with me now you are no more a slave. If I say to you, you are no more under the power of sin, agree with me now. Don't go by feeling. Go by sight. Go by what? By faith. And then you shall see the glory of God. So we'll stop here. Next Thursday we'll continue. I don't know if you got anything. Did you get anything? Put all that struggle to rest. Enter into his rest. If you are struggling, God stops. If you rest, God takes over. Amen? I said amen. There was something here on Sunday. I was standing and the Lord said to me, he said, do you really believe I'm God? I said, yeah. He said, if you believe I'm God, why are you doing this and this and this? I said, yeah, that's true. He said, why did you say this and this and this? He said, that's not the language of people who trust me. I said, Lord, yeah, that's true. And I went, and I won't tell you what that is. I went immediately after that service, I changed everything. And before long, God began to do stuff. Just stand here. All of a sudden, something went like evening, you know, that I cannot describe. Once it happens to me, I know God wants my attention. It's like evening. You know how this evening thing comes? He says, do you believe I'm God? I say, yeah. He said, why are you doing this and this? And why did you say this and this? That's not the language of people who trust me. If you trust me, the question is, do you believe I can do this? to that soul, then I will do it. My question to you is, what is it you can believe that God can do? Do you have anything you can believe God can do? Is there anything you think in your life? Can you believe God can do it? Can we rise up?